HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. As stock markets bet the pandemic blues, investor wealth ballooned in a period when most businesses were struggling due to challenges posed by lockdowns amid loss of income. With limited options to spend due to no travel and stay-at-home guidelines, a gush of fresh money found its way to stock markets in the last 1.5 years. Many rode on the tailcoats of investors who were established and known for making a fortune by investing in stock markets. High net worth individuals, or HNIs, held a combined ₹4.7 trillion in NSE firms as of June end, rising 19.5% in a quarter. So, what are the big trends in HNIs and ultra HNI investment in India post-pandemic? To discuss that, I'm in conversation with Rajesh Cheravu, CIO, Validus Wealth. Hi Rajesh, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nasreen.
So Rajesh, as we are in the middle of a bull run in the stock markets, there's a lot of excitement among retail investors, as we have seen in the data. But of course, the HNIs have also been pumping money. So if you can take us through, where are the HNIs investing? Is it only equities, or are there other asset classes which is also attracting the HNI money?
Well, this pandemic is a reboot from investment perspective. Yeah, like it happened post 2009 global financial crisis. This time around, markets' severe drawdowns has actually led to some amount of reboot in the whole thought process of investor community. Predominantly, these ultra HNIs who are actually considered to be in terms of the understanding about markets and risk appetite. Slightly, I think, on a higher side. Since we are getting into a growth phase, so these ultra HNI investors are gaining confidence that I think this growth is here to stay. So earnings growth is likely to stay put for some time. So that is where some amount of actually return of interest into mid and small cap space has been seen. So that is one area. After a lull of about 3 years post 2018, we have seen lack of interest into mid and small cap space post January 2018. We have seen severe drawdowns there. Now, after a 3 years gap, we are seeing good interest into mid and small cap. That is one area. And second, the change in investment patterns, investment trends is the private markets. So one after the other, actually, the issuances going to market, as a couple of public issues with a couple of startups are actually, people have seen money through fund route, like a certain special situation funds. Whereas investors are actually feeling, instead of through fund route, they would be keen to actually, they started showing some interest to take such exposures, such startup exposures through direct participation. So these are the two major active areas of actually interest or change in trend in equity side has been seen.
Right. But besides equities, are the ultra HNIs or the HNIs investing in any other asset class? What about commodities or the new emerging asset classes like the cryptocurrency?
Yeah, cryptocurrency, yes. We have been actually, investors want to know about how to invest and how to evaluate them and how to value them, etc. Given lack of actually the regulations and whether to invest or not to invest, whether it is allowed or not allowed, lack of this clarity around it, they are actually holding back. But they are showing they are actually keen to know how to evaluate these opportunities. And because we are... There is a lack of clarity. Most of the civilized countries, most of the actually regulated countries, it has not been approved asset class as such. So they're actually eager to actually get into this asset class as and when clarity emerges. Whereas the other asset classes perspective, if you see, I think the MLDs, market linked debentures, is one area. So because the fixed income in the last 3 years, 3 years or so post ILFS crisis, fixed income yields have dropped dramatically. Prior to that, you must have seen the yields ranging between 8 to 11%.
Right.
But post that, post ILFS crisis, it has dropped to as low as between 3.5 to 6% range. So they are looking for certain yield enhancement strategies, especially certain good quality market linked debentures where. But the two short dated. They are not keen to lock in their capital for a longer period of time. So at the most, I think they might be open to lock in 18, 20 months, not beyond that. Because environment has been quite dynamic. If they lock in, I think 3 years or three years and above, that brings in tax efficiency. But the problem is they're not sure of the environment and overall ecosystem. So, but they're keen to lock in superior yields for yield enhancement in the portfolios, fixed income, but in quality issuances and short-dated issuances. This is another trend. Mm. They're actually showing a lot of interest. And this is about the onshore side, whereas right. There's a lot of interest on offshore side.
What about commodities, the precious metals, the gold and silver, which is generally accepted or considered as a safe haven? When we started the pandemic in 2020, March last year, we saw that the prices of precious metals, especially for gold and silver, had increased tremendously. In India itself, price of gold had reached 50,000 per 10 grams. But now, of course, since the equity markets are rising, do you see that participation or interest for investment into precious metals is waning?
Yeah, as you rightly said, in the beginning of the pandemic, we have seen good spurt in prices for precious metals. That is largely a tendency of this particular asset class, gold, which is considered to be hedge against inflation and hedge against risk. Risks. So that's where I think whenever the volatility spikes or rises, that is the time you tend to see gold prices also moving up. So this is in the same as part of the same phenomena, we have seen gold prices rising from $1,100 to all-time highs of close to $2,000 levels. So from those levels, we have seen, I think it is actually gave up some gains now, trading somewhere closer to $1,700 now. So that is elevated risk, number one. Number two is cheaper liquidity and excessive liquidity in global system. Combination of these two factors, we have seen spurt in gold prices. Now the risk seems to be actually tapering for some time, at least for last 6-9 months. So post first wave, we have seen, I think gold prices started coming down. And liquidity also, whatever abundant liquidity or excessive liquidity from the global central bank is also likely to taper eventually. So that's what seems to be getting priced in current market. So investors, in general, we suggest investors to hold 5% as strategic asset allocation as a hedge in their portfolios. From taking into account this kind of risk environment. So, but we don't believe the risks are completely off the table. So we are overweight as an asset class. We are suggesting investors to overweight gold. And domestic investment side, we are encouraging investors to look at SGBs, sovereign gold bonds, where right. You tend to have about a 2.5% kind of yield on an ongoing basis. Yeah. Plus, apart from, I think, capturing the whatever upside, potential upside in the times to come.
Okay.
So gold, I think investors, yes, they're holding anywhere between 5-odd%. They are actually open now. But in the beginning of the pandemic, they were not keen. So post-2014, there is a lack of interest in real assets, especially at least in India, both the real estate as well gold. Interest has actually significantly went post-2013 and 14. It took some time to get the interest back. So I think at the peak of the pandemic, investors do realize there is a need for having a hedge in the portfolio. We have seen some incremental allocations in gold during those times.
Right. Last three, 4 months, especially in the month of September, August, and even July, stock markets have been in India and also in abroad. Stock markets have been hitting record high. And every time we hit a record high, we think that probably nowhere from here. And that is the last peak. And then suddenly it goes higher from there. Another question is, how long will this rally sustain, and how are the HNIs or ultra HNIs are hedging this kind of a risk? Because of course, we have reached a certain level, 17,000 on the Nifty, and there are a lot of warning signals, starting with the Fed tapering its bond schemes or the interest rates, which they've been talking about. And India's RBI also may kind of start increasing the interest rates. So how are the HNIs or ultra HNIs hedging their investments into equity against such risk?
Yeah, it's a fair point you have made. I think one side, the risk of actually tapering this excessive liquidity or cheap liquidity, both globally as well in India. The other side, I think valuations are at high and markets have been marching new highs. But what we are actually gathering is investors are not, we are showcasing, and we are actually time to time, we have been updating, we have been discussing with these ultra HNI investors with respect to the kind of the need for hedging in portfolios, the scope for hedging in the portfolios, the pricing of these hedging strategies, etc. But what we are actually gathering is there is incrementally there is a feeling this rally is here to stay. Okay, there is no such interest, or they are not showing any urgency to hedge their portfolios.
Lot of confidence in Indian stock markets.
Yes, lot of confidence in markets at this point of time. I would tend to agree with them, partly at least. Reason being, unlike earlier peaks or earlier post crisis times, this time around, if you see, as you rightly said, I think the Fed is likely to taper. Or ECB also might not cut the tap, but gradually they might also take that path down the line, 18, 24 months. But Indian Central Bank also might rise rates in a gradual manner. But at the same time, both US Fed as well Indian RBI have been conscious, and they have been providing required support to growth. Yeah, so growth seems to be actually taking shape. And you would have also, I think most of us would have also realized, US is talking about the Fed, Fed is talking about the tapering one side, whereas US Congress is debating and most likely to pass the close to $3 trillion fiscal
capex.
Stimulus.
Yeah.
Fiscal capex.
Yeah.
So that might balance out the overall pressure, if at all, if there will be this liquidity pressure comes in. Because eventually, if this whatever liquidity pressure, if that get offset through a healthier or a stronger growth, so that might support markets to sustain these levels, or it might inch up gradually to new levels also. We cannot rule out that. But okay. Overall, if you see, I think US household level, if you look at their household savings are at all time highs. So that clearly suggests there is consumption is likely to kickstart anytime from now on. Yeah. Whereas the domestic side also, rural economy is in a great shape. At least if you look at the last 35, 40 years, we never had this kind of actually the healthy cash flows into the rural system at this point of time. One is the fourth consecutive year of normal monsoons. Exception being four states in India. Remaining states, if you look at, I think there is a normal monsoon. So this is last 110 years, this is the first time ever, fourth consecutive normal monsoon. So rural economy in general is in good shape. Now I think the upcoming harvest season would provide further actually demand, supporting demand. And apart from these things, governments, both state governments as well as central governments, have been providing liquidity support as well as direct benefit transfers, etc. So that's also been supportive for rural economy. So only weak link in the domestic side at this point of time is urban economy.
Demand.
Urban demand is weaker. So that might take a while, because that is one segment which has taken a severely hit by this pandemic, whereas rural economy relatively less impacted, and finances are in great shape. So that might actually lead the growth, earnings growth and demand growth, and eventually urban could fall in place. So that is where I think the confidence of these ultra HNIs in terms of holding their positions and not showing any inclination to hedge their positions at this point. And having said that, I don't rule out any market-wide corrections, both global markets as well Indian markets. So that is a natural phenomenon. In general, I think there is a up move of about 10, 15, 20%. There is about a 5 to 10% kind of correction. So it is healthier. Some amount of profit taking is required from time to time. So that might actually provide, instead of getting worried or instead of getting, if as long as the growth outlook is stronger, it continues, it persists. So if that kind of thing, 5 to 10% kind of fall, seems is investors are ready to put in more money at work.
Right. So on that note, thanks a lot, Rajesh, for taking me through this investment trends, specifically after the pandemic. Thank you so much once again for sharing your time with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Nasreen.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT Smartcast.